friends, and welcome to the CU Insight Network podcast. My name is Lauren Culp. I'm the publisher and CEO at CUinsight.com, and it is my job on the show to have conversations with all of the thought leaders who support the credit union community. There are so many of them, and we get to spend time together identifying some of the issues that affect credit unions and chat about some best practices to learn from one another and improve our credit unions. I'm so excited about our guest on today's show. We are joined by Tony Hernandez, the president and CEO at the Defense Credit Union Council. I'm so honored to have him on here. It has been a minute since we've gotten to connect, but let's go ahead, jump right into the conversation. Tony, thanks so much for being here.
Well, thank you, Lauren. I'm honored that you asked me to do this. And it has been longer than a couple minutes since we've spoken, but I'm looking forward to, things getting back to a little bit of normal and we can see people in person. Yeah. Delighted to be here today and speaking with you and your listeners.
Awesome. Well, let's jump right in. I'd like to start with a little bit of background on you. Most of us didn't really grow up thinking that someday we would get to work with credit unions. So I'm curious what you wanted to be growing up. And then I know you have a unique background. So after you tell us what you wanted to be growing up, walk us through what you did prior to joining the credit union space.
Okay, well, growing up, I grew up in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and I always wanted to do something, and that something involved leadership. And so, throughout my youth, I was always exploring different leadership positions, whether it was captain on the soccer team, student body president, in the scouts, in my fraternity, all that stuff. So it was always headed in that direction, and I knew that being in the military would be foundational for things that I wanted to do later in life. And so I didn't know much about the military. My dad served back in the Vietnam era, but just did his initial enlistment and was out. And so I didn't grow up around military a whole lot. So it was new to me. And I got an Air Force ROTC scholarship. And the whole reason behind that is I wanted to fly jets. I was going to be a fighter pilot, and I was also going to be an electrical engineer. And that's what I thought, when I started college. Things changed, my priorities changed, and so I moved to the business college because I only needed a degree in order to fly. So why am I, studying all this engineering stuff? So I went to the business college and got a degree in finance. Later on, the Air Force had a reduction in force and did away with pilots, and so wasn't going to be a pilot anymore. And so I became an Air Force comptroller, which means, as an Air Force budget officer and financial services officer, working the all the money aspects. In fact, my call sign was money while I was in the Air Force. Since credit unions operate on the installations, I got to see and manage at least the on-base branches, our relationship with our on-base credit union. And then my journey towards DCUC is also sort of a military story. Many people don't know, but my wife, Jennifer, worked for my predecessor for 16 years at the Defense Credit Union Council.
Wow, and, that's incredible.
It was amazing because she was able to telecommute everywhere we moved. She still had a job in D.C. One of my mentors, it was a one-star general, and she always told me, every day is your job interview. So look sharp, be prepared, and get out and shake hands because you never know where that opportunity is going to come. So when I would accompany Jennifer to Defense Credit Union Council conferences and events, I was always her plus one. And I would always make sure I sat up front because DCUC conferences and events are CEOs, senior executives, and their boards of directors. So it's a top decision-making level of our nation's defense credit unions. So every day was my interview. And lo and behold, DCUC created a position for a chief operating officer. And when I was ready to retire from the Air Force after 25 years as a full bird colonel, I got hired into the job. And then a year later, I became the DCUC's president and CEO, and learned a lot more about credit unions. And I continue to learn about credit unions. And I'm very excited and very proud to be a part of the credit union movement. And so that's Tony Hernandez in a quick, short summary.
I love that. I did not know that money was your call sign, but that explains your Twitter handle, Money Hernandez.
That's right. I love it.
So it has been a little bit of time since we've gotten to connect at a conference in person, but I've had the privilege of attending several DCUC events across the globe. For someone who's not been to a DCUC event, though, could you give us your elevator pitch on what DCUC is and where you really bring value to credit unions?
Sure. We're a trade association within the credit union industry of military credit unions. You know, and traditionally, DCUC represented credit unions who operate on our nation's military bases worldwide. In fact, we get our name, you know, Defense Credit Union Council, because we started off as a CUNA council, because credit unions that were operating on bases had unique needs and unique issues that needed to be resolved. And so CUNA created a council called the Defense Credit Union Council. We've been around for 58 years. We're getting ready for our 60th anniversary. But we're expanding. You know, we believe with some of the things you're seeing in Congress right now, namely the Veterans and Consumers Fair Credit Act, that's going to apply to all borrowers nationwide. But there are some things that apply to all credit unions, whether you're in DCUC or not, things such as the Military Lending Act, you know, the Service Member Civil Relief Act. You know, lots of credit unions have large populations of veterans or veteran-connected members within their fields of membership. So we see DCUC more as a trade association representing military and veteran interests where they live and in the communities that they serve. So we're actually expanding DCUC. Right now, we're about a quarter of the industry when you think about it. And I believe there's even more credit unions that we can serve with our particular brand of expertise. We always like to say, we speak military. So, you know, come to DCUC if you have a question or need some advice.
Incredible. Well, I know DCUC has some really great membership options for credit unions. And so tell us what is the biggest value for a credit union to join as a DCUC member? And can any credit union join?
Any credit union can join. We have a great affiliate member. And what you get, you know, again, I said, we speak military. If you're trying to understand, you know, the unique life cycle for military members, you know, you move every 2 years, member gets deployed overseas, and you got family back here in the States, you know, the whole life cycle of transitioning and what it means to be a veteran and how you market to veterans, we offer expertise in doing that. Plus, we also offer helping the other trade associations with a lot of their advocacy initiatives. For instance, you know, the recent $600 IRS reporting rule that's kind of sort of dead, but we don't know yet, you know, until the Build Back Better bill is complete. But there's a military impact to that, because if you're a soldier, you know, in harm's way, and now because the IRS's audit powers, they decide to audit you because of the $600 reporting requirement, that's incredibly distracting when you're supposed to be focused on the mission and keeping people alive in a combat situation. And so it's highly distracting for that. And so, you know, we provide a different perspective on military issues, you know, like the Afghanistan allies situation. You know, we're trying to, I guess, redirect former Afghan citizens into the United States. You know, these are mission partners for United States military. And so we look at things from a different perspective. There were some questions asked about how do you get these Afghan allies banked in the U.S. banking system without all the KYC, you know, know your customer requirements, you know, background checks and such. Well, since we're on DOD bases, we have contacts with DOD at the four-star and undersecretary level. So we started asking more questions, and we're about ready to roll out some programs to help these allies as they get repopulated or reintegrated in the interior of the United States. And so, you know, we perform that advocacy and that advice for member credit unions. Again, we speak military, and that is our number one expertise. Even for stuff like, you know, when's the Navy's birthday? We're doing something for Veterans Day that's going to be really cool. We're releasing a video this Friday live. It's a 2-minute video that speaks to veterans. And, you know, and the way we left Afghanistan was very messy. You know, it has parallels to Vietnam. And you know, you're reading in the press about a lot of veteran and military suicides because of the way we left. And, you know, what was it all for? And we believe, you know, just saying thanks. And so our Veterans Day message this year is just going to be a message of saying thank you know, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your services. And anybody can play that at our credit unions, can play that message, because it will speak to their members, you know, that are in their field of membership. And all we want to do is just say, we recognize the blood, sweat, and tears that you've sacrificed over the years. And we just want to come together and say thank you. So those are things that DCUC does on behalf of our military and veterans all across the country.
That's incredible. Well, and you mentioned advocacy a little bit, and I know a big focal point for DCUC is that advocacy. Can you talk about the big advocacy agenda items that DCUC is working on right now and how you really partner with credit unions in that space?
Sure. Well, right now, the biggest issue is the National Defense Authorization Act. And right now, it's currently stalled on the Senate floor. The House has already passed their version. And what that means is that if you're a credit union operating on a military installation, you get a no-cost land lease. You don't pay the government any rent. Our counterparts, the banking industry, since they're for-profit, by regulation, have to pay rent. You know, they're a for-profit entity. And banks are trying to get what they call quality or fair treatment on the base. We don't believe they've earned it. There are provisions for them within the statute where they can get in-kind consideration, but they have to do the work first and have to prove that they're actually offering a benefit for the members and not just trying to earn a profit off our servicemen and women. And so winning this argument is important because you're already seeing the equal treatment argument make its way into credit union taxation issues, into community reinvestment act restrictions, you know. And so banks want to make credit unions equal, but not necessarily give them the same benefits that banks enjoy. And so winning the NDAA argument is very important. Then I mentioned the Veterans and Consumers Fair Credit Act. This is a outgrowth of the Military Lending Act, which imposes a 36% rate cap on all loans, period, dot. It includes the all-in rate, which is very bad for any lenders. In fact, the NCUA's PAL loan, you know, the Payday Alternative Loan, that calculates to 77%. That loan would be illegal if this thing ever passed. We agree a 36% APR sounds horrible, but when you add all the fees in, that calculates to that. So if I was to lend you $100 and say you pay me back $101 the next day, you know, $1 fee or whatever, well, you take that $1 times 365 days, and now that's 300, that's a 300% loan. That's sort of the way the all-in rate gets calculated. And where that hurts small dollar lenders is that, you know, someone would have to borrow $2,300 just to stay below the rate cap when really they only need $500. And so it puts a lot of people in jeopardy. And we're very concerned about that legislation because it started with the MLA, which is already law. And now Congress is weighing whether to extend that to all consumers nationwide. And so those are a few of the things that we're keeping our eye out on in terms of advocacy.
Oh, that's incredible. Well, it sounds like you all are doing some really great work on behalf of credit unions everywhere. I think as we're really thinking about it, you've got the expertise of being able to speak military. You know, you've got the advocacy side. I'm curious, what other resources are there for DCUC member credit unions? And can you share some insights with our listeners about those options and how they could really benefit?
Well, we put on some great conferences and events, and you've been to a couple of ours. You know, we have a sub-council structure, one overseas and in the Midwest. And then, like I mentioned earlier, you know, when I was, you know, a young major and lieutenant colonel and colonel coming to DCUC conferences, it's all the senior decision makers within our association. You know, it's not like a CUNA GAC, which is huge and it's great, great speakers. Ours are a little smaller, a little more focused, and it's just CEOs or their senior execs. And so what you form as a result of that camaraderie is you build contacts and pick up the phone and call somebody else, you know, similarly sized credit union or larger or small, and you can get, you know, advice. And we've seen that happen as a result of our conferences and our events. And so that's a huge benefit. I think you'd have to go to a special CEO, conference or so. Ours are just our annual conferences. And over time, they become family reunions. So you see a lot of good bonds. We also provide, some guides on how to work on the installation, how to work with the installation commanders. And so we provide that expertise as well. We also have good financial education in the military. They call it financial readiness. because everything's about mission readiness. And so we have great resources and publications that we offer. If your credit union wants to understand the military life cycle and what all the different military and government programs mean for a military member. And that's for free on our website. You can just come to dcuc.org and download our Armed Forces Financial Guide, because military life is unique. It's not the same. And there's different stressors that come along with it. And there's different programs that are out there. And if you're a financial advisor, that publication would be very valuable for you to have on, at your fingertips. And we have it online for free. And again, we speak military, so come to dcuc.org and we'll help you reach your military and veteran members.
That is incredible. Well, so many great resources. And like you said, it always felt like a little bit of a family reunion whenever I got to go to any of your events. I know there's been so much disruption too in the financial services industry over the last couple of years. And we know sort of the pace of change globally continues to increase. And so I'm curious from your perspective, you know, you've got the 10,000 foot view here as the president and CEO at DCUC, but what trends are you really seeing in financial services for credit unions? And where is DCUC working to innovate to maybe meet some of these challenges going forward?
Well, we see a huge further market consolidation, right? And that's just a product of where we're at in our movement. And a lot of that's driven by technology. And so we've been really focusing on emerging technology. And how do we offer our members access or understanding to emerging technology? So one thing we did is we partnered with Filene, and DCUC is a prime sponsor of the Center for Emerging Technology. And we pioneered something. We ran a pilot program. It was a joint event with Filene at our last annual conference, where members, for the price of the same plane ticket they were spending to come to a DCUC conference, they were able to attend a Filene research event. Normally attend a Filene research event, but don't know anything about DCUC, they are welcome to come to our conference, at least for the opening ceremony, which was spectacular, you know, the way we rolled that out. And so we see partnering within the industry with credit union system partners, such as Filene Research Institute, to give a look on cutting edge technology and how we offer that to our members. And we also partner with the Armed Forces Financial Network, which is a debit network that DCUC co-owns. And that's powered by FIS, which, you know, has a lot of financial transaction history and core technology and a lot of stuff that's core agnostic. And so we partner with a Fortune 500 firm that's focused at technology or emerging technology that's actually been tried and tested. And so we offer those things to our members. Of course, it's up to the individual credit unions to make their own choices, but at least we get them to think. And I think that's an important consideration, you know, for moving forward. And it's not just on mobile technology. It's on AI. It's on bots. You know, it's on Bitcoin. And we're studying that right now, or how you use cryptocurrency, you know, with ATMs. And what does that mean? And, you know, in fact, I'm experimenting. I just opened up my Voyager account and starting to play around with crypto myself, just to understand how that works.
Yeah.
And for a guy like me, that's difficult, but my spouse is very well versed in cryptocurrency, so she's still teaching me some good things.
That's incredible. Well, you're right. There's so much change, but technology seems to be sort of driving that at the forefront. So really cool to hear about the ways that you're investing in the future of that for credit unions. As we start to wrap up here, I'm curious if there's one thing that you think credit unions need to do better to stay relevant in our fast-changing marketplace. What do you think that one thing is?
I think, you know, keeping when I played soccer, it was called, you know, fisheye, which is, you know, looking left and right. There's a thing in strategic planning, you know, called peripheral vision. And I think it's not being so focused on what you're doing, but take a look outside and see what your competitors are doing. And not just external competitors outside of credit union. What are other credit unions doing? And always be receptive to new ideas. And I think for the large part, credit unions, you know, are pretty good about doing that. I think they've recognized that they need to grow or die, which is, you know, using George Land's you know, terminology. But I always think we can get better at that and get faster at implementing. You know, it's the same thing when they talked about a revolution in military affairs. It was the same technological, you know, following that S curve that the military has to undergo, because everyone always wants to fight the last war. Right. And so you need to think about, well, what kind of warfare is from a military strategist mindset. what kind of warfare should we be preparing for in the future? Well, the same thing with credit unions. What kind of market should we be preparing for 10 years out and 20 years out? And those that can get there first are the ones that are going to survive. So in a nutshell, that's sort of the way I see it. Oh,
incredible. Well, such good insights. And I know I personally love reading all of your articles too. A ton of leadership insight there as well. So for all of our listeners, we'll link to those here today too. Well, as we get closer to the close of the episode, we always like to have some fun with rapid fire questions to let our listeners get to know you a little bit better. And so we say the questions are rapid, but your answers don't have to be. So if you're ready, we'll dive right in.
Okay.
All right. First up, what is a recent purchase you didn't know you needed that has become something you can't live without?
I have to say, I just bought a pickup truck.
Okay.
You know, I always wanted one, didn't have, you know, room for it. My daughters have grown up and gone to college, so there's room now. But man, that thing has been extremely useful in cleaning out the garage, hauling yard waste, the dump, moving things to my daughters, you know, daughters' homes. And so, you know, I never thought how much of a difference a pickup truck would make. That was just a recent purchase that we made. And it wasn't a big pickup. It's, I think it's a Ford Ranger. And it's been great. My wife just sort of chuckles when she sees me driving off in it because I got a big old smile. Because it's just been very, very useful. So
that's incredible.
I hope that answered that question.
Qualifies, yeah. That's the first time I've heard pickup truck. So I'll add that to the list of good answers here. All right. When you hear the word success, who is the first person that comes to mind for you and why?
Well, I'd have to say my wife. And just watching her build her business, you know, she's got a certificate in women's entrepreneurial management. She got it from Cornell University. And watching her build her business into a very, very successful real estate business, you know, just doing it on the side. And, you know, raising two girls and, you know, all at the same time while supporting my career. And then coming in at the end and doing it. So, I don't think I give her enough credit for what she does, but I'm very proud of what she's accomplished. She's one of the top agents here in the DC area now for real estate, you know, and she's a multi-million dollar a year business that she built from the ground up when we started with DCUC. You know, she started her real estate business here in the DC area. And I like it because that's how we were able to afford the truck. Right? So I benefit as well. So I'm her number one fan.
That's incredible. I know I get to say we're connected on LinkedIn. So I see her posts every so often. Seems like she's definitely built an incredible business. All right. Random question for you. What are you listening to on Spotify?
You know, I listen to a lot of, I guess, call it like chill afternoon and, you know, just some easy tunes. You know, when I get into a mode working, and we just finished our new DCUC's 5-year strategic plan. Well, you know, it doesn't just happen. So I put a lot of upbeat music, you know, that's kind of mellow, a little bit mellow. It's got a good steady beat. And I just sort of get lost in that. But I also listen to a lot of yacht rock.
On
Spotify. Okay. You know, it's a lot of 70s and early 80s songs that I sort of remember. When I was young, because I wasn't a grown up back then, but I remember hearing all those songs growing up, and it's real nostalgic. And so, you know, if you ever get a chance to listen to yacht rock, there's some good tunes on there that you may recognize because they've been remixed a lot throughout the last 30 years.
All right, yacht rock. I have not listened to that genre, but I will add it to the list here. Okay, any books that you have gifted or just think everybody should read?
So I always have books that I recommend, and if I have them on hand, you know, I'll either lend them out and I don't expect to get them back. But the one book I always recommend people read is Lions Don't Need to Roar, and it's a book written in 1982 by D.A. Benton, who was a CEO coach, and it's on personal presence. It's how to shake a hand, how to keep eye contact, how to act in a meeting, and how to do Q&A at the end of a presentation. It's a very good book that I highly recommend emerging professionals read, because it'll teach you how to carry yourself, you know, into a meeting. And if you can hold it together for 4 minutes, you will dominate the room. And she is absolutely right on that. You know, and then another book that I recommend is The 48 Laws of Power. That's a book written by Robert Greene, Green with an E at the end.
Okay.
I like that book because it's kind of dark. You know, it's Machiavellian, you know, and I sort of look at it like, you know, with Jedi, you know, you have the Jedi's on one side and you have the dark side on the other. This is a dark side Sith type of book. But well, the reason why I recommend it is because even if you don't believe in all that, you know, especially here in the DC area, you see those political games and one-upsmanship coming. If you can spot it early, the book gives you techniques on how to react to it and how to redirect the energy. And so it's a very important book, particularly here in the DC area.
Sure.
Or really any area where people are competing for money, attention, and power. So it's called the 48 Laws of Power. You know, it's 48 different laws. You don't have to read the book cover to cover. You can go to the table of contents, find something that interests you, and jump to that chapter. It's a good book. And then just a lot of rereads. You know, there's a book called Boundary for Leaders, which is really good on how you set boundaries for leaders and what's appropriate. You know, there's just a whole bunch. So I have a whole bookshelf full of books, and I like going in there and going, you know, I haven't read that one in a couple of years. And every time you reread a book, it's never the same book. There's always something you missed, or there's always an experience that you had that now that passage makes complete sense.
Yeah.
And so I always recommend people read books that you've already read once or twice before, because I guarantee you're going to pick up some nuggets of knowledge that you didn't know you had before.
That's incredible.
So those are a few books that I'm reading.
Awesome. Well, we'll link to all of those here for everyone listening so they can access them a little bit more easily. Let's say that the calendar is empty. What do you do to unwind outside of work? And now it sounds like maybe you drive that pickup truck, but what do you do? Calendar's empty.
The reason we finally got the pickup truck is my wife and I bought some electric bikes.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, we bought some Pedego bikes, which you can still pedal on them because you can do pedal assist. But I get on the Peloton, so I do my exercise on the Peloton. So when I'm out on the roads, I like being outside and riding along some bike trails. And so I get tired of pedaling. So it's always good to hit the throttle and, you know, it takes you 20 miles an hour. And Jennifer and I have hit some really nice trails here in the DC area. I have to transport the bikes. Hence, we bought a pickup truck so that we could transport the bikes. But that's been a lot of fun. You know, it's easy to do. It's relaxing and something we both enjoy that we can do together. And we bought the helmets that have the intercom. You can talk to each other. We'll look out for each other or we'll point things out, you know, before we get there. Who's going to push the button if we have to cross the street? You know, working all those details out. But it's been a lot of fun. We've enjoyed, especially this fall. It's been a nice warm autumn here in the DC area. And it's been gorgeous to get out and ride a bike. Today, not so much. It's cold and dreary. So maybe it's time to put the bikes away.
Oh, man. Well, that's incredible. I have not heard of those helmets with an intercom, so I'll have to maybe pick up a set of those. Sounds like it makes it a great time.
Yeah, they're called Senna helmets. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. I'll add it to the list. Sounds like a good Christmas present, too. All right. Well, we're going to link to everything we talked about today in the show notes, like we said. But my last question for you today, Tony, is any final thoughts that you'd like to share or final ask that you have of our listeners today?
Well, since Veterans Day is right around the corner, you know, if you see a veteran or know a veteran, just tell them thanks. You know, a simple thanks goes a long way. You know, when Veterans Day coming up here on November the 11th, I know we say it a lot, but, you know, you just can't say it enough. And who knows, that simple thank you may be all the difference in saving someone's life. Just letting them know that you care. You know, our veterans do a lot, sacrifice a lot, and watch the video that we'll be releasing this Friday. And we'll make sure we have the links so you can post that one as well. But really just saying thanks and coming together and doing that. Of course, Thanksgiving's right around the corner and we have lots to be grateful for. And then the holidays are right after that. So these are some really good touch points to reflect, grow, and really just be thankful for everything we have. And so that's all I have to offer right around the corner.
Wonderful. Well, such a great way to end here. There are so many resources that DCUC offers to credit unions, so we're excited to share all of those. Tony, thanks so much for taking some time and being on the show today. I learned a lot, money being your call sign, all of the different nuggets of wisdom that you shared with us. Stay well, my friend. And to all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning into the CU Insight Network today. Take care, everyone.
Thanks, Lauren.